kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Two or three are gathered together, you said, there am I in the midst. And we turn away, Lord, from the things of this world, and we look now to the Lord, and we thank you that you will speak to us through your word now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I have a title for us to talk about today, and we're calling this teaching, Worship and Faith Walk Together. Worship and faith walk together. Sometimes we miss out the worship with God. And it's something that can so easily be put on the back burner. We just forget to do it. We're more consumed about, am I in faith? Am I in faith for this? And generally there's that anxiety and there's that fear that is working. And after a time, you realize that you're not really going to break through until your faith also includes worship. Just worshiping him and praising him. Whatever it looks like, how bad it is, whatever the news is you've received, just turn to him and start to praise and worship him, because it's very, very powerful. Now, we're told, aren't we, in the world, how powerful music is over a person. Why, any psychiatrist will tell you the power of music, and this is why so many like music and go to music concerts and rock concerts and these festivals. And it draws millions of people. Why? Because music has that effect. It has a lifting effect. Well, if that's just of the world, and sadly the devil inspires a lot of that, how much more when we put that over to the spiritual and we start to worship and praise God and we've got his word which we can sing, that brings us into the presence of the Lord, because we're told that God inhabits the praises of his people. And if we could just learn this one, or when we're battling some doubts or unbelief, or the devil is becoming very vocal in the mind, just stop everything and just raise those holy hands in his presence and just start to worship and praise him and sing before him. And you'll find that you touch him, you break through, because worship and faith walk together. We know this in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 onwards. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 12, and where we know the story so well of Abraham is called by God and his family to walk with him by faith. And it opens up with this. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there God calls Abraham and his family, and God makes a promise. He's making a covenant here. He's revealing himself. that he's not going to forsake him. He's going to be with him. And look at this blessing. And this blessing is still on the seed of Abraham and is still valid today. Even though God's people, the Jews, are put to one side, it still has a principle and is valid. But it doesn't stop there. And in verse 4 it goes on. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. I love that. It doesn't say that Abraham had a debate and an argument with him. Not at all. It says he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Here we see discipleship. Here he is ready to put his hand to the plow. He's not arguing. He's not questioning. He doesn't want any down payment or any confirmation, none at all. He hears God speak and he moves accordingly. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So he's no youngster. The Lord never gets it wrong. Then Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired to Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. The Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, just saying in passing there, listen, he doesn't get fearful about what he sees there, unlike the children of Israel. No, he's in faith, he's walking. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So even though the enemy, the giants are in there, God says, I'm going to give you this land. And what does he do? He doesn't debate with God. Oh, but there's giants in there. There's the enemy in there. No. His faith starts to worship God. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And so Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. His faith is encompassing worship. Now, building an altar is part of worship. It's the sacrifice. And this, of course, is where we get the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you don't feel like praising, but we know that feelings have got nothing to do with it. So let's just break this down then. Abraham is called to walk by faith, and God makes his first appearance, as we've looked in verses 1 to 3, where he makes a promise and he obeys, he moves by faith. How does he move by faith? Because what he hears from God encourages his faith. And here is the principle: the faith comes by hearing, reading the word. He heard the word of God and he had faith, he believed it. What God was promising there in making a covenant was to be sown in his heart. Here is the parable of the sower. It's interesting that God only appears when we come away from the world. We come away from Haran. That's where his home was. That's where his family were. And God said to him, come away from that. And so we see in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And here it is, the principle of discipleship. When God calls you, he calls you to come away, from family, husband, wife, children, and everything. What does he mean by that? It means that we don't hold them first in our hearts. There's the principle there in verse 4. And we walk as disciples. We place our hands to the plough, as Jesus said, and we move forward. For what? To separate us from this world, the control of this world, the seduction of this world. It's a huge deliverance. It's in every way, it's the sword of the Spirit comes straight down and slices straight the way through and takes that affection out of our hearts. Because if God doesn't take that affection out of our hearts, we are controlled by family. If they don't know the Lord yet, trust me, you are, and you will always compromise. So here we see he departs from his family. He's taking his own immediate family, but he's got other family there, probably mother, father, and brothers and sisters and so on. But he's taking his immediate family and Lot as well. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So all that were with him, and servants and people, he took with him. But he's still leaving his land, his homeland, that he's used to, where his forefathers were. And this is what God does with us spiritually. And it goes on, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land, and they are the enemy. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, To your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he's not persuaded by what he sees of the land of Canaan. There's the enemy in there. He's not persuaded. He's not hindered like the children of Israel were. The Lord then speaks to him because there's no fear. He's still in faith. He's still trusting the Lord. And God then can bless. And I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So God again confirms. He's now saying, I'm going to give you this and to your seed. And what does he do? He worships the Lord, because that is what faith does. Faith is always appreciative of God's blessings, what God says, what he does. Faith will rejoice and praise and worship God. And this is why, of course, we make so much of the promises of God that we can stand upon. And this should cause us to be able to worship the Lord. This is why you cannot separate faith and worship and worship and faith. They are needed, because we are appreciating, we are thanking God. He's building an altar by faith there, because God says, I'm going to give this land to you. He's not doubting. He's left all. He's abandoned. He's walking now by faith. He's looking to the Lord. He's not doubting. He's seen the enemy first, but that's not put him off. And he builds an altar where the Lord appeared to him. And then it goes on. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So this time he's been worshipping after God has made promise confirming the covenant. This time he moves and he's now in a situation where he's between Ai and Bethel. Now, if you want to know anything about that, I actually means the symbol of the world. And Bethel is fellowship with God. And so he sees that. He sees that there's a choice. He can go the way of Ai, or he can go the way of Bethel and maintain that fellowship. And as a result of it, he builds an altar to the Lord and calls on the name of the Lord. And so Abraham journeyed, going still toward the south. So that building of that altar and calling on the name of the Lord enabled him to make the right choice, to go where God wants him to go. You see, his faith is learning. Where is he getting all of this from? He's certainly not getting it from a Bible like we have. This is direct revelation. And the revelation that God is giving to him is illuming his mind. And it's the same principle how God works today as well with us. But we have to trust him. We have to do it his way. And then he blesses. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So Abraham, he comes to worship. We see that there's an altar involved in his sacrifice. We see that his worship is solely unto the Lord and to the Lord alone. And we see that worship requires time and preparation. So everything that he's doing in his journey, he's considering, it's being prepared, he's offering the best. He's offering by faith what pleases God, the same as us, because we're told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because worship often requires time. And our problem is we want to get into the presence of the Lord and give off our list of our problems and what we're overcoming and so on. That's what we're quick at doing. But no, he got the priorities right. He was worshipping God first, because it's giving the best he has given you. And you've got to be on your guard that you give the best. It's important to the Lord. Whatever blessing you are given, offer it back as a love offering to God. And this is what he's doing. He's built an altar. He's offering it back. Now there was a famine, as we said, in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it goes on with his journey, then entering Egypt, and so it goes on, which we won't go into all of that, but really that's what I want to hone in on this. And so as a result of building that altar, his thanks, Abraham can continue to journey now. He can continue to walk with God. And he can start to meet the trials and the tests, of which he does. But he's walking with God, and that's the most important thing. And like everything, when we worship God, when we give our time, we give our best to God, then we find that blessing comes. But be careful when blessings come, because you're not to hold back to yourself these blessings. It's very, very important. I'm reminded of what the children of Israel did. If you turn with me to Exodus 16. And we know where God blessed them in the wilderness with manna. And they collected the manna each morning. And let's take it up from verse 14. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he was gathered much, had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Even man had gathered according to each one's needs. And so Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it spread worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. You see, this is what it does. Because they're not in faith, they're not worshipping the Lord, they're not grateful or whatever. All they were doing is griping and moaning. Are we going to get any food in this terrible wilderness? And so on. And you see, we do the same. We can adopt those attitudes. We might not always say exactly what they're saying, but we can harbour, hold these attitudes. And we're thinking into our hearts, well, surely the Lord can do something better than this. Or I was expecting a better miracle than what I'm seeing. You see, God tests the mind, the heart. And there's nothing better than when worship and faith work together, because then you are in communion with God. You are hearing God. You're hearing what he's saying. And this is very, very important. And I do feel very strongly that this is something that the Lord really wants to work with FGA. We need to experience this a lot more. It's easy to become apathetic or down or a bit depressed, or, well, I've been in this walk for many, many years and not a lot's happened to me. It's so easy to think like that. But if we're walking by faith, which we're called to do, then there is something within one that wants to rise up and worship Almighty God and lift those holy hands in his presence. You see, when you do that, you will never be allowed to keep spiritual blessings for yourself, which is what sadly we do at times. It's for me, myself. It's what I've been talking and discussing with the Lord about. You see? And it can't be blessed. And it doesn't bring blessing. You see, with whatever God gives, you offer it back to the Lord. You give it back like Abraham built an altar and he gave thanks, he offered, he appreciated what God was revealing to him, the promise that he was making with him. And this is the same principle when we read all these promises in God's word from Genesis to Revelation. This book is literally filled. I don't actually know what the count is for all the promises in the Bible. Probably someone has done it, but I certainly don't know. But there's certainly enough of them. And if we just thank God, and in our praise and worship and thanks, we offer it back to him. And by offering it to him, he multiplies it. Same as Jesus when he prayed over the fish and the loaves, the fishes and the loaves. All the people were fed. He offered it back to God. There is the principle, you see, and worshipped and praised God. But you'll never go that far if you're keeping it to yourself. And when you give it back to the Lord, then you're able to bless others. Others can be blessed. And as a result, when they're blessed, that encourages and enables them to worship, and it quickens their faith as well. Did you know that you have that effect on brothers and sisters? You can have that effect in your witness in the world, or your family that look or watch you as you're blessed and as you offer it back. They will be affected by that. It influences them. This is why you see, when we pray for our loved ones, our families, we also have a responsibility. How we come over, how we treat them. Do we present the love of Jesus to them? These are all questions if we want to see them saved and make it into the kingdom of heaven. You see, as we know, the word of God calls us to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. And some of us are thinking, how am I going to get my family saved? What is it going to take and everything? Well, this may be just the problem. It's how you're treating them, how you're coming over. Or are you compromising with them? Are you siding with them just to keep the peace? Or you don't want to be separated from them in case, you know, if you stand for the Lord or stand on the word or have to say, no, I don't agree with that. That is wrong. And then we wonder why they're not getting saved, you see. No, our worshipping, our praising God is so powerful. We build these altars back to the Lord for that purpose. Because we know our altar is Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar. We've taught many, many teachings over the years on that one. But we offer it back that others can be blessed, and including your loved ones and your family also. So give time for worship. Don't rush it. And also pitch your tents with him wherever he leads and guides you. Because this is what Abraham and his family are doing. They're nomads. They're pitching their tents wherever God is leading them. But they can only do that if it's faith and worshipping the Lord, because they go side by side. And you watch what'll happen. These are the rivers of living water that flow out of us like a well that reaches out into the parched land, because that's what water does. Water can get to crevices and places that nothing else can get to. And allow the Holy Spirit to work that perfect harmony of worship and faith together. And they will work in perfect unity and harmony. And this is why, of course, we also need a grateful heart. There's a lot of Christians who are not grateful. They're not very forthcoming in thanking and praising and worshipping the Lord. Or just going to that brother or sister and just say, thank you for that. Thank you for your faith, your obedience. Or thank you for that word of encouragement or that love offering that you gave me. Is it beneath us? Are we too spiritual to be able to do a thing like that? Not at all. This is what God wants us to be, because people who are thankful like that, I can often tell you that they also know how to have worship and faith that works together, because it's coming from that. They are thankful and grateful to the Lord. There's no way we can pay anything to the Lord this walk on what he's given us and is giving us, how he's teaching us, leading and guiding us, preserving us. What have we done to deserve this? There's nothing. There's nothing that God saw in any of us. If he did not choose from the foundation of the world, we would not be here. And we certainly would not be interested in listening to a teaching like this. So, you know, when we think on those things, and this is why we bring this up from time to time, this all helps us with our worship and our faith and our walking together with him and each other. This is where fellowship and unity can happen. Our fellowshipping in the house of God requires the worship and faith to make it happen. And yet we find at times we can come into worship and everything and, oh, what a burden. And my arms are too tired and heavy to lift up to the Lord and praise and worship him. And we do that at times in FGA. And we wonder why little happens. And it's a sign we're not really believing. This is why our meetings should be prayed up. We pray for our meetings. It's not just praying for the word. That is important, don't get me wrong. But also for the meetings, that the Holy Spirit will touch lives, that my brothers and sisters will be changed by this word that they're going to hear. That we offer up real worship and praise as we come before your presence with clean hands and a pure heart. That should come out of a grateful heart of what God has done to us in saving us and first loving us, because it wasn't in us. And I go back to Abraham. He's beginning to show that heart. He's showing his appreciation to God, what God has done, meeting with him, speaking with him, calling him away from his homeland. It's had a huge effect upon him. And our salvation, the new birth, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit should have that great effect upon us, because it's supernatural. It can never happen otherwise. And so he's showing it clearly here. And God's able to make covenant with him and bless him. And I mean, you know, I'm sure Abraham wasn't completely sure what was being said here. He said, you know, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is why we are blessed by faithful Abraham. Because our God and Father who made a covenant with him is the blessings of that covenant that we share of. Today, now, this moment. And he's protecting us, those who curse us, those who come against us and persecute us. He's clearly showing there, I will protect you. It is my name. It is me they're coming against. Surely that should cause us to praise and thank and worship him. And so Abraham, he departs from that and he starts to walk it further by faith and so on. And then the Lord appears to him again, as we've looked at. And he says, I will give this land and your descendants. I will give it to you. And there he builds this altar. And this is an altar of gratitude, of thanks. He appreciates what Almighty God has done, is doing, and will do. He's got a vision now, this man. He's heard what God is going to do. He probably thinks that's all going to happen in his lifetime. He doesn't realise that that's going down the corridors of thousands of years to come. So he's not questioning when it's going to be. He's just thanking God. God has promised. Why? Because he's in the realm of faith. He's walking by faith. And faith isn't going to question. Faith will just trust and believe God. And that's why we've got to believe these promises and stop questioning or finding out why or when or whatever it is. God is on the throne and he doesn't get it wrong. And when you can settle that, then you find this true worship and praise just happens. It just comes out of your innermost being. And you will begin to learn that worship and faith, they walk together. You can't separate them. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that that's been a word of encouragement today for you. And maybe that has spoken and answered some questions. I know as I prepared this, I was tested this very day with this teaching on some news that I received. I thought, praise God, hallelujah. Up went the hands and I started to worship and praise him. And I was not going to take on that fear and anxiety and doubt and unbelief. So, you see, I am tested on what I preach. And I thank God for that. Because then it makes this word true and valid. Praise his name.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.